We can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our Father and God, we thank you for thy word. Thank you for your just being who you are. So, thanks a lot. God, we owe you, I owe you, God. Thanks a bunch. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, the purpose of John is to reveal and make it clear that the person, Creator, the Savior, only God and only Savior is God. And the Gospel of John, written by the last living apostle near the end of the first century, near 95-96 AD, somewhere in there, he gave it so that we would have it. So that when you want to answer anything, you've got to go, in the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1, John 1:1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God, we always got to start with you, find you, to have light in the midst of darkness. Now, so in our study, we're just a few hours away from the cross, crucifixion, and in Jerusalem, Passover, are they there? People are there. The Gentiles are there that have come. Verse 20, the Greeks, Gentiles, and Philip and Andrew have taken those Greeks to Gentiles to our Lord. And they wanted to see, meet, know, understand a little bit about him in the Passover. Now, and in the light of that, here he is, he's going to answer them. And you have to understand the crowd. The crowd is a very large. Josephus guessed at 2.7 million in that city of Jerusalem at the Passover. And then you take it that he just has gone and healed Lazarus, which was very necessary in the sense to understand and to get notice, to get everyone on board. He's back in Jerusalem, Passover, third time. I'm back here. Here I am. And everyone take note. Everyone's going to broadcast what? Lazarus was just raised from the dead. And that triggered, boy, did that trigger everything. So now, here they all are, and here's the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians, and he's an offense to them. They hate him, they want to kill him, and the crowd doesn't know any different one way or the other. And wow, it's a very hostile, awesome, glorious occasion, to say the least. Now, in the light of that, he doesn't answer these people, as we shared together. He tells them in verse 23, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He was going to tell them, the only way anyone, Jew or Gentile, can ever know me, can ever understand me, is even come close. All they can do is I can feed them, I can heal them, but they can never know me, even though I know them. Therefore, the only way the Greeks you want to see, you're going to have to come. Philip and Andrew, do you want to discover what you should have learned in 3.5 years, 3 1/3 years? You ought to understand who I am. And the only way you guys are ever going to get it is I got to go to the cross. I hope you understand that was the whole purpose of my coming, to die on Calvary's cross, to pay the price. Now, so he did that. He said that right up front, verse 23. My hour, I'm going to tell you, it's my time to die just a few hours from now. And after that, you're going to be able to know me. And then he uses the illustration, verse 24, verse 25, verse 26, to help them understand what is involved. The seed has to fall into the ground and die. Uh-huh. And then it changes radically and becomes what you could never see in a seed package. it becomes a wonderful product, a fruit, a plant, a flower. Wow! He has to die to make all of that happen. And then verse 25 and 26 we studied. And then we went down, and after each time he's sharing the relationship to the cross, you're going to have to forget trying to have your life here and now. That is not going to last, and that's temporal and condemned. So you've got to come to me to find life. Without me, there is no life. Verse 25. And verse 26, you want to serve me and follow me and honor me. So if you follow me, where are you going? To the cross. Follow me to the cross. Verse 26. Then he goes, and to help the people, they're all there standing there. And then he goes and says, verse 27, his soul is troubled. He was going to go through a horrible, horrible time in the Garden of Gethsemane thereafter. And thus he's going to go, and it's a dreaded time, to take the sin of all the world, to take everyone's wrong in word, thought, and deed, in your own heart and body, let alone our wrong, everyone's wrong, every bad, evil, wicked thing, to take all of that in your own heart and body. Ah, awesome, awesome, horrible. You don't want to do it. Take this cup from me. Not my will, but thy will be done, he said. Now, having said that, he then went, remember, and God the Father answered him, and they heard it. They all heard it. We shared it together. And they thought it was thunder. They thought might an angel spoke. They it was a question. You could have heard very clearly, articulated very well. You could have heard the same thing. We'd read it. The Father, glorify thy name. He said that. Then there came a voice from heaven, verse 28, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And they heard that. But they didn't hear that because their heart wasn't with it. They couldn't. He has to go to the cross. They can't get it. God, you're a wonderful person. We're in his presence. We have his word. We have our heart and mind, our understanding, our interpretations, things we don't know, things we don't understand. All kinds of stuff is thrown in and about to get us to not pay attention. But in God's presence, and we are. God has all of that very clear. So I'm going to read again and understand again and rest. And God's going to help us. Our little heart. The rest of the world does what it does. Do they understand? No, I don't know. The Bible doesn't make sense. What does it mean? God so loved the world. Well, if you just look to God, who's loving us, and then look at his word, and we're relaxed. God, we aren't counting on what we know and read. We're counting on you. We're counting on you. You said it. You meant it. You understand it. You're doing it. Thank you. Huh. And thy God, so I have your word. And they didn't get that. They didn't get it. So therefore, and remember now, verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, because of, on account of you guys. It's for you. So this whole thing, we just read it, all very public, is a kind of for people to understand who he is to the degree that they're ready to and they need to. That's the whole point. And now, God, you're going to say it clearer to them. Absolutely. Let me make believe you're the crowd. Let me tell you now, I've shared all this wonderful truth with you, my own heart troubled, and what I'm going to have to do. And now I want you to pay attention, if you would. I'm going to say it as simple and as clearly as I can what I'm going to do for you. And then he's going to say it. Now, thus in verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So what are you going to say? Well, I'm going to tell you, I told you I'm going to the cross. I told you you need to understand this awesome thing I'm going to do for you. And I have to do it. Without it, you'll never know, be able to come to grips with God's wonderful rightness. You're never going to be able to enjoy God unless I do it. Now, so I'm going to do this first. What's going to happen on the cross? The judgment of this world is going to take place. The judgment of this world. Now, in order to see the world system, that isn't the material flowers. They're all judged because of the humans. But it's humans. Humans, the world system, made up of humans, godless, unbelieving, that's the system. The nations, religions, we got it. It's the system. It's our world system. It isn't of God. It's condemned. The judgment of this world has come. Do you understand? I'm going to go to the cross, and the whole system you're counting on, Greeks, Jews, what you're looking to, is condemned. Do you understand? I'm going to tell you right up front, it's condemned. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 1, and you'll catch the flavor of it. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. God. And picking up, if I may, in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Sliding over to verse 22. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks and the Gentiles seek after wisdom. Sliding along, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, chapter 1 and verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But the world's condemned. I've come to judge the world. Over to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 14. The natural man, 2 and 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I'm going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. World doesn't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Nope, the Spirit of God's doing it, but they don't want to hear it. Over, if you would please, now to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 will hit the target directly. John chapter 3, the judgment of the world, that's number one. I want you to know everything is judged, condemned. John chapter 3, picking up please, in verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn, there's your little word, to condemn, judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, he came to save them. That's what he did. He didn't come to judge them, he came to save them. He that believeth on him is not condemned, not judged, but he that believeth not is judged, condemned already. Why is that? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So they don't want to know. The world's condemned. The judgment, the world is condemned. It's condemned already, right now. Right now. Before you were saved, you were condemned. In fact, look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is abiding on him. An unsaved person, God's wrath is abiding on that person. People at work, home, school, they're all condemned. They're all condemned. Christ died. Hang on, it'll come together again. They're all condemned. They need to be saved. There's not one of them that doesn't need to be saved. Not one of them. And they need to want... Now, it's an awesome thing to think about, but it's true. Now, so, and if they die, they're lost, apart from Christ. Now, having said that, and since you're right next door, chapter 5, what do they need to do? They're condemned already. That's right. Verse 24, 5 and 24. Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. There's your word. Now, you're condemned already, but if you believe, you're not condemned anymore. Do you understand? You need to believe because you're condemned. You need to be saved because you're lost. You need life because you're dead. It's something you need. It isn't some little picnic you were going on. You need to understand you have a problem. All humans do. And therefore, the judgment of this world is come. And thus the end of verse 24, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, back over to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, they're judged. So the whole, everyone understands they need a Savior. You want to know me. You need to know me as the only God and only Savior. You need to believe me. You aren't believing me. I'm going to go to the cross so you can have a saving relationship. To believe and not know me is not quite as good as knowing me, having a unique personal relationship to who I am. Thus, John chapter 12, the second thing. And would you please notice the little word back up in verse 27, now, at adverb, at this present time, now is my soul troubled. Slide down to verse 31. Now, right now, at this present time, is the judgment of this world. I'm going to go to the cross. All of this is going to happen right now. Now, third one, verse 31. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, the prince of this world is going to be cast out. The word prince has to do with one's authority and power, chief, a chief person, a ruler, a lord, little l, a prince, someone who's in charge, a ruler. The prince of this world, that's the second thing, the prince of this world system, well, he's going to be cast out. He's going to be thrown out. Wow. Now, in the light of that, you know, chapter 14, let me do this so you can see it. Chapter 14 and in verse 30. And you'll remember in the upper room, hereafter, 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, no more talk. For the prince of this world is cometh, and hath nothing in me. Now, what's going to happen? Well, the devil, what are you going to do? What are you going to get the crowd, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, what are you going to get them all to do to be able to say, crucify him? And they are going to say it in unison, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. That's what they're going to do. Uh-huh. That's what they're going to do. Wow. And so, Lord, you aren't going to... No, do you understand? The minute I leave this upper room and go down to the garden and then to the trial, etc., you aren't going to have any more words with me. No, this is it. Because the devil is going to come and he's exercising his power. And he's going to go and come. He's going to send Judas into this upper room who's sitting there, etc. All of this stuff is going to happen. And I want you to know, not one thing the devil will do will stop what I'm going to do, why I'm going to do it, how it's going to come out. Do you understand? No one. He has nothing in me. He has not a drop can he do to interfere with what I'm going to do. He can only make it happen the way I want it to. Now, so thus, that's chapter 14. Over, if you would please, to chapter 16. And in chapter 16, picking up, if I may, in verse 11, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So what are you going to do? Do you understand? The devil, the prince, the power of the air of this world system, he's in charge. He's in charge of Africa, India, Europe, America, North America, Australia, Canada, Venezuela. He got it. He's in charge. He's in charge. That's what he is. And the Spirit of God, when you come to say, and he has got a world system of humans that are all in unison by religion, by politic, etc., education. We're in unison with him. God, they aren't going to honor God in his word. They aren't going to do that. Nope. Therefore, the judgment of this world has come, and the prince of the power of the air is judged. That's right. He's judged. He was judged when he fell. Lucifer, son of the morning, Isaiah 14:14. When he fell, he was judged. Calvary's cross makes it clear to all angels, the good guys and the bad guys. Judgment. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Do you understand? He's already judged. This settles it. Don't even bring up, this is why it's all in cement. All done. Now, thus, chapter 16, the judgment, prince of this world is judged. Now, in the light of that, back over to chapter 12. In chapter 12, you will notice, A, the world is condemned. That's why he has to go to the cross. The prince of this world is cast out. He's the one that caused all this. Now, and he's judged. Now, he's going to be cast out. That's what he's going to be. Now, the prince of this world. Now, remember, he's prince, the power of the air. And you're fulfilling what? Genesis 3:15. He's going to be judged. Genesis 3:15, the Satan, son of the morning, is going to go and bruise, to the word in Genesis 3:15, bruise to break in pieces. The devil is going to be judged, bruised, break in pieces. I'm going to break in pieces his head. He is going to crucify me and do that to me and send me to the cross and try to do it to my heel. I'm going to do it to his head. And thus, Genesis 3:15 is being fulfilled in a most wonderful. God said he's going to do it, and he did. Settled. It's all clear. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, he's going to do that. Now, and remember now, the devil's going and doing his awesome stuff. Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil, we read. The devil's going around. A devil is a roaring lion going around, Peter, 1 Peter 5, seeking whom he may devour. We shared last time, 6 o'clock in that. He's an angel of light seeking to trick, to deceive, to pull. That's what he's doing. Now, thus the little word you're looking at in chapter 12 and in verse 31 is the little verb that the prince of this world is going to be cast out. It's going to be, it's future tense. He isn't cast out. He's judged on Calvary's cross, but he's still functioning. Aha! Yes, he is. And he's the one that's drove the crowd to crucify him, as it were. Now, in the light of that, and the word to be cast out is the verb to throw out, to expel, to remove, to get rid of. He's going to be cast out. He's not yet, but he's going to be thrown out. A, Isaiah 14, he was thrown out of heaven. God threw him out. He lost his job. Such a wonderful thing. He lost his job. And God threw him out of his holy, happy heaven. Now, God, you're going to, on the Calvary's cross, you make it clear, he's been judged, so don't let him pull the wool over your eyes and think he can pull anything off. He's been condemned. He's going to the lake of fire. And in the process, get that clear, he's not going to do anything. Crucified. And he's cast out. So all he can do is irritate and run all the systems, he's trying to run them and make them work, against God's saving grace. Hang on to that. The whole world system, now, in an age of rank unbelief after Calvary's cross, Jews rejected him, Gentiles rejected him. They didn't believe. He rose again from the grave. The only sign he's going to give is the sign of the prophet Jonah, that he rose again. And that's what the church's job is, to show that wonderful, wonderful life. And it's battle. All of it's taking place. Now, in the light of that, he's cast out. Aha, he is. And right now, he's busy trying to buy up whatever he can, get whatever he can, no matter what it is, going to try to do it. And what's going to happen? Well, he's going to end up getting kicked out of heaven. Revelation chapter 12, you don't have to read it, the same verb. He's going to be cast out of heaven. He can't get there anymore. Right now he can get up there and be a pain in the neck about you, accuse you for all kinds of things. But he can't do that anymore. He's thrown out and he comes down. He's cast down into this world system. And then, of course, the Lord comes the second coming and puts him in confinement. And then what happens? Well, God lets him out in the millennium, lets him out to deceive, to do what? Deceive, to bring, deceive the whole world. And then what does he do? Then God, in the future, he's going to be cast out. And the last time he's cast out is when he's thrown, Revelation 20, into the lake of fire. Thrown into it. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, he's going to be thrown from the earth, etc. They're going to try to kill him in everything they do. Now, over it, if you would, in John chapter 12, you have the third thing. And the third thing, A, judgment of this of the prince of this of world has now come. The second thing, prince of this world, is now cast out. The third thing that comes into focus of why he was there, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Wow. That's what he said. Now, if I'm lifted up, to raise up high. Now, get that. You're over to John chapter 3, as you know. John chapter 3. And may I pick up, please, in thought. Remember Moses, going back to Moses in the wilderness, and when the serpent and everything took place there, taking that wonderful incident happening and applying it now to Christ going to the cross, chapter 3, verse 14, John. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so that people could see and look at the serpent and get healed. Verse 14, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's going to be lifted up. He's going to be crucified, lifted up. The serpent was lifted up on a pole, and everyone in the camp could get to where they could see the pole, see the serpent on top of the pole, and they'd be healed. Well, just had to believe. Pointing to Christ, lifted up on Calvary's cross. How is this all going to happen? The world's condemned, Satan is judged, cast out, and I'm going to go, and you understand, it benefits everybody. What I'm going to do is going to benefit everybody. Now, if I be lifted up before the foundation of the earth, I determined to be crucified. Before anything ever was, I determined God the Son with God the Father and God the Holy Ghost, I'm going to die. That then they could proceed with creation. I'm going to die for the sin of the world. Angels I can't die for, but for the humans I can. I'm going to die for all of them. Before the world ever was formed, hang on to that, you were there. You were there before the world was ever created. Now, hang on. Hang on, in the light of that, if I be lifted up. So therefore, in that, over if you would to chapter 8, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and in verse 28. John 8 and 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, when you have done that, then shall you know that I am he. Because you see, you're going to bury me, and then I'm going to rise again. You're going to know. You're going to know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. I want you to know, I don't do anything about it. It isn't about me. It's about a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. And I want you to know, and when that happens, I'm going to draw all men back over to chapter 12. If I be lifted up, when I'm lifted up on the cross, I'm going to draw all men unto me. That's what I'm going to do when I'm lifted up on the cross. All men, A-L-L, all. Jew, Gentile. It has nothing to do with anything. It has anybody, any human, no matter who, what, where, when, size, shape, doesn't matter. He's going to go and he's going to draw all of them unto himself, unto myself directly. And I'm going to draw them. Now, do you see the word draw in verse 32? I'm going to draw them in the future. I haven't done it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to draw them. I have to be lifted up before it will happen. Right now, unless I'm crucified, it'll never happen. I have to be lifted up on the cross. When I'm lifted up on the cross, I've made something possible, because before the foundation of the world, I said I had to die. I'm going to die in that hour. Wow. Now, having dying in that hour, keeping that in mind, then I'm going to draw, when that happens, I'm going to draw them. Now, you'll remember from using it, you don't have to turn there. Remember in John chapter 21, you don't have to turn there, 6 and 11. Remember they were fishing, the Lord after his resurrection was trying to help them, and the net was so, they caught nothing all night, and there they were, and God just said, oh, I'm going to help you guys. And he went, boom, the net was full of fish, and they couldn't draw it, drag it, pull it with force. The net resisted pulling, and you pull the net, power, resistance, pull, drag, power. Now, and that's used there. And Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane is going to do what? He's going to draw his sword. He's going to draw his sword to protect the Lord from the soldiers and everybody. He draws his sword out. He pulls it out. It resists. He pulls it with power and puts it out front. That's the word. Now, I'm going to draw all men to me. That's what I'm going to do. And now, having said that, you got the idea of the word. It's a wonderful word. They took Paul and Silas and they dragged them in front of the rulers. They dragged them there. Wow, that's the word. Okay. Now, in the light of that word, over, if you would, in John chapter 6, to remind you, we were there. John chapter 6, if I may, and verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now there's your little verb, to draw. The Father has to draw. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his most wonderful, wonderful way, is doing what? Over to chapter 5. Chapter 5. And if I can, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And the Lord Jesus said, very simply, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So, without taking 25 times and do it, or read it 25 different places, without saying that, without me, my whole job, said the Lord, is to, turn the page, it's get that much anyway, chapter 5 and verse 36, 5, John 5, 36. But I have greater witness than that of John the Baptist, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice, not any time, that's the problem, they didn't believe, nor seen his shape, none, no, but, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. God sent the Son. Now, where's the Father? The Lord Jesus Christ, without turning, John 14, 7, 8, 9, he said, if you've seen me, you've what? Seen the Father. It's the Father. Here he is going, healing, feeding. It's the Father that's coming out. The Father's trying to get the attention of his creation. Here they are. His words, his works, his witness is all about the Father. It isn't about him. It's about the Father. And the Father is bearing witness and drawing whosoever. Christ died for the sin of the world on behalf of the Father, as it were, God, in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so the Son points to the Father points to the Son, and when you see the Son, you're going to know the Father. And the works, the words, the signs, everything is all going to bear witness. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, John chapter 16, turn there and then we'll try to put that together. John chapter 16. And you know, of sin, 16, verse 9, of sin because they believed not on me. Sin, singular. We aren't talking about sinners, aren't sin, the sin. You will, remember the expression, you will die in your sin. You're not going to die because of your sin. Do you understand? You're not dying because of your sin. You're already dead. The problem is, there's only one thing that I didn't cover. I covered everything on the cross except believing in me. I'm the Savior. Without me, you have no pardon. You cannot be purchased. It can't happen without my dying on the cross. Therefore, verse 9, of sin, singular, because they believe not, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So here we are looking, and the Spirit of God is going to go and exercise, and God exercise the heart of people all over, all of people. When I'm lifted up, I'm going to exercise. Adam and Eve looked to the coming cross. Cain did not. Abel looked down the corridor of time. Yeah, he believed. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and down the line, they're looking. And here we are on this side of the cross, on the other side. Now, I'm going to try to illustrate that, if I can. Hopefully. Now, you can't see this back there. I know. Can you see that? This is a whosoever. This whosoever doesn't believe. He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe. And therefore, since he doesn't believe, this whosoever, we're going to lay it down like that. Here's another whosoever. See this whosoever? This whosoever was seeking God and wants to know him. He wants to be saved. This fellow. So this fellow here, this fellow wants, is seeking God. Now put him this way. So they're like this. Understand? Now, in the process, now I'm going to change the illustration again. Now, in the process, this person, use the same, he's going to draw them. Now, so God, if you seek me, you're going to what? Find me. Okay. Now, here's this guy, and here we are, and he's seeking, and God's going to draw him, maybe. You see? God did that. He was a whosoever that believes. Now, this guy doesn't believe. He don't want to believe. You don't want to believe. Nope. You want to believe? Nope. You don't want to believe. But Christ died for him. And the grand subpoena of heaven demands you appear in court because Christ died for you. And you're going to give an account of that. It isn't your sins that you're going to have at the great white throne judgment. It's your works. You're going to be judged because you didn't believe. No, I'm not. I refuse to turn. I'm going to do. Really? You refuse? I want you to know something. You are condemned already. And I'm going to go. And I give you time on planet Earth, but I want you to know you're going to go. You're condemned already. No! I'm going to draw all men to me. Understand? I don't want to. Every knee shall humble. What? Every knee in heaven and earth will bow to who I am. Only one God, only one Savior. Now, so here's this guy, and this guy wants to get saved. And this guy being saved, this guy isn't saved. He don't want to be saved. Are you going to turn around and get saved? Nope. I'm going this way, But at work, home, school, play, everywhere, there you are saved. There you are saved. And when you come, you're saved. This guy isn't saved. But you want to help him awaken to be saved, don't you? Therefore, you need to enjoy being saved. I mentioned it because I'm concerned. Some are losing the first love, and you're in and out of here too infrequently. That's no good. No good. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with the heart. You can count on it. Don't tell me. I'm not totally stupid. I'm telling you. You need to fix things. Fix them. And get into the place you can enjoy it. So when you're there, you're a healthy influence. Don't you want to reach your children? Don't you care about people at work, at school? Husband, wife, brother, sister, somehow, don't you want to see them get straightened out instead of crooked? Say, well, it's a little crooked, okay. No, it isn't. A little crookedness isn't okay. It isn't right. So, God, you want to be an influence. You all want to lose. If you lose your first love, what's going to happen? You're going to end up, Laodicea, you're neither hot nor cold, and I'll spew you out of my mouth. So I don't want to end up there. No. That's how it's going to happen. So God, help us. We got it. We aren't going to stop it. I can't stop it. I wish I could. But we can be healthy, and when we're healthy, we're a pain in the neck. Do you understand? This guy doesn't want to get saved. But if you're healthy, my friend, you bring the influence of Jesus Christ, that you are saved, and you are saved. And when you're saved among them, you're a fragrance of death unto death, but you're there. And you want to do it in a nice, reasonable, loving way, but you want to be a testimony. You understand, children, father, husband, whatever, you need to be saved, truly, truly saved. And then you become, then what happens? Well, I don't want to lose my friends. I don't want to have my thing. Then hang on then, dear friend. Because if you're going to stay healthy, and someone just telling me the church or whatever, we don't speak on the second coming of Christ because it would be offensive and the people won't come. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to offend them. Listen, my friend, we're in a place, you're either, if you drop dead this afternoon, I hope you're ready. Be a testimony. The church needs to be a testimony. You need to be a testimony. I need to be a testimony. And when we're a testimony, we influence everybody. Do you understand? I will draw all men to me. Everyone is accountable. And when I sit on the throne, I, the judge, Acts 17:31, I will judge everybody. That's awesome, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to get saved, to be saved, to be part of this. Our Father and God, thank you for caring. Thank you for your presence. God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health. God, it isn't about us. It's about what you've done for us to free us from ourselves. Our God, we get caught up in our background, everything about us. And God, we lose out. We get caught up in people, persons, places, and God, our feelings and our fears and our faults take us in the wrong direction. God, rescue us from ourselves. Spirit of God, I don't know how. Only you can do it. Only you can do it, Blessed One. So, thank you very much for caring and doing, and what can we say? God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.